the Drive Through HR, Brian, William, and Nisha, coming to you live every single day, talking about HR with the people who are getting it done out there. So let's get to our guest. I absolutely love to listen to her perspective. It always kind of gets me thinking and gets me fired up. Energy is always amazing. So without further ado, Shannon Russo, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Nisha. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, if you would, let's kick it off. Introduce yourself, and then we'll kind of roll into kind of what's top of mind for you.
Okay, sounds good. Introduction, Shannon Russo, at Kinetics HR, for those on the Twitter sphere. I am the CEO of Kinetics. We are an RPO for growth companies. We're a little bit different in that we use an integrated services model and focus on things a little bit differently. For those of you that don't know what RPO is, we deliver recruiting on an outsourced basis as our clients. So in the best scenario, you never know that it's us because you think it's the companies that we're working for. And we do the entire process, not just the not just dropping candidates kind of over the fence. And manage that. So that's what we do. We also like to think of ourselves as people who are very interested in the broader talent space and try to bring that to the table for our clients as well. So that's a little bit about me. And Brian, do you want to dive in or what I was thinking about this week?
Yep, let's roll.
Okay, cool. So one of the things I was thinking about that I was just kind of curious and, you know, you always wonder when you think about stuff if you're the only person that cares about it or thinks about it that way. But I just, you know, there's been a combination of things over the last, I'll say, 6 to 9 months that have me wondering how much of the Pavlovian dog type mantras are really becoming part of social media. So, you know, everybody talks about social media, big fan. You know, user across the board, and really like it and have generated, you know, for myself, you know, some great relationships and see a tremendous amount of value there. But, you know, I see things like the, you know, the whole endorsement thing on LinkedIn, which I hate. I'll just go straight to it. I hate, you know, that's that, oh, okay, good. Somebody's giving me the thumbs up, I guess. Because some of those people that have given me thumbs up don't actually know me very well. So I always wonder, like, how could you say that I'm good at this when you've actually not seen me do it? I appreciate it, but is that a good thing or a bad thing? And are we kind of starting a trend of kind of memes around there's always this, you know, we certainly started with the liking stuff, and I actually like that. I know that sounds funny, but because I do think it makes sense, but all of this, you know, you do this, I do that, part of it, I'm just wondering if that's going to degrade the experience or make it better, I guess, is really. So I love your guys' view because you're obviously right in the thick of it as well.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's super interesting. And I always have you know, and even to go a little further than the kind of the recommendations or the endorsements and stuff on LinkedIn in general, because I have reached out before and just asked for the longer actual recommendation. You know, literally, will you just write something up? I mean, if you feel like it, I would love for you to do that. And then literally, I know I always wonder personally, and it kind of goes specific to what you're talking about, but I wonder if it is becoming that, okay, I wrote one for you. Now, I am
so expecting
you in 2 weeks to return the favor.
Yeah.
You know, it is one of those. And this is so funny. This is like a way bigger conversation on just actual being comfortable with receiving. I had this conversation with a friend who was struggling. She's actually starting a nonprofit. And
okay.
Is literally having to, she's working through like the grant and endowment process, has really been struggling with just receiving, right? Just receiving and then doing good things with the money and not actually being without having all the anxiety around the fact that it's going to be this like 100% accountable, you know, I mean, just a relationship where it's, there's going to be all this oversight and, you know, I've got to do something because they're giving me this versus just
to give back.
Having it. Yeah. And it was an interesting conversation because, you know, not to get like way, you know, way philosophical, but it was one of those that, you know, that she's working through, and it was fascinating because at the end of the day, you know, what she's giving back, I think where she arrived, and I think she's good with it for the moment, is the fact that they're going to do really good things, and they're going to really do good things under what their kind of their goals and missions are, and it's not like it's not a one-to-one. Right.
And that's the give back. It doesn't have to be to that. But it's sort of the, you know, when is it paying it forward, if you will? And when is it,
right,
you know, I'm going to give you a recommendation, so you should give me one. So if you give someone a recommendation, do you expect one? On LinkedIn, if you give one?
I definitely do not.
You do not?
Kind of, no, it's kind of like loaning money. You loan somebody, if I loan somebody money at the end of the day, you know, and I, because that's a long time ago, way back, you know, years and years ago, and I learned that I literally, this is one of the best lesson I've ever learned, ever been told, one of the handful, is the fact that if you ever loan a friend or a family member money, that's not a loan, it's a gift. Unless you want to run the risk of literally ruining that relationship. I was told that.
Let's
a long
be clear
time
what we're
ago.
Actually doing here.
Yep, it's like literally like, you know, I would love for you to pay this back, but, you know, at the end of the day, internally, if it never ever happens, I've just got to be good with the fact that it's a gift. And I mean, you know, obviously, I'm not 100% on that because I just expect people to do what they say they're going to do. But at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I made the decision, and it's somebody that I care about. I'm not gonna let a few hundred dollars per se. We're not talking like $25,000. Then that's a little different ball game. Then you just need to be smart and actually put a contract in place. And then it's a business relationship, and it's not, you know, it's not like a little loan. So let me be a little more clear on that. You know what I mean? But it's one of those that you got to be good with it. So I know I absolutely long answer, but I absolutely don't expect anything. It's not a tip
anything back
scenario.
Yep.
No, I mean that's
well, and I almost
agree
wonder. I almost feel the opposite. So I almost go if I'm looking at your profile and I say, cool, you know, I'm going to make this up. Brian's got a recommendation from William. Awesome. But then I see that you delivered a recommendation. I always discount at that point. And by the way, that might not be true. They might be valid in both directions. But do you do that same kind of thing? Do either of you guys do that? Or if you see it going in both ways, you discount them at all? Or is that just me being a weird person?
No. Because, I mean, at the end, it just, you know, it's the trade-off, right? We're all smart people listening to the show and talking today, and we both know that if it goes both ways, and it, you know, again, it just depends on, part of it depends on the timing. You know what I mean? Cause all
totally.
I'm the same as you. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a look at this, and if they have a working relationship together, I don't discount it because they endorsed each other or not endorsed. But
that's right.
You know,
wait. Get your liking feature correct.
Yes. And I, you know what? I constantly struggle with that. So.
Well, does anyone think that endorsements are valuable? What about either of you guys?
Well, talking about endorsement and then recommendation, you know, there is a group of people, and I agree to your point, and I agree that, you know, there are tremendous endorsement coming each and every day, and people we may never know, people we have not connected with them and not even seen them in personally and talked to them, but, you know, they are endorsing our skills. Probably some of them are genuine. Some of them we don't even
totally.
Know. Some of them are genuine in the sense, like, they might have looked at our profile. Especially for me, I'm blogging a lot about a lot of topics. So some of my readers, they read that. And then if it is about recruitment, and I can see that, they endorse my skill set based on the blogs that I wrote and based on what they perceive my skill sets are. But from your perspective, you are a person who are searching for candidates, searching their LinkedIn profile, and then social media footprints. So do you think this endorsement can increase the searchability of a candidate based on the keywords?
You know, I'm not sure if they're doing that. And part of the reason that I don't like them and discount them is because I feel like part of it, for the people that maybe don't even know me well, it could also be the annoying LinkedIn won't let me go to your profile if I'm trying to do something, if I'm connected to you, without forcing me down that path.
Mm-hmm.
So how many people are doing that simply because they want to get that annoying thing out of their face? And I don't mean it that way. Like, I'm assuming somebody's endorsing me because they actually know. That's all good. but the reality is, how many are just doing that because it was easier than skipping?
Yeah, I totally agree that. It's kind of an annoying sometimes. You know, they don't even look at our profile. They don't even read our profile and just endorse the skill set based on the suggestions that is being given through the internet. Or I don't know, they might be wanted to being noticed by us.
Right. Well, and differently, a recommendation other than the quid pro quo back and forth thing that we just talked about, to me, that's much more meaningful, right? It takes work.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have to think about it. So for me, that's different, the scratching each other's back aside. But the other part to me that's sort of Pavlovian is the, if I look at your profile, granted, right? So part of this Pavlovian feature is LinkedIn sending me an email that says, or sending you an email that I looked at you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, and all the people that look at there, it shocks me the amount of people that actually do that because someone looked at them, if you will. Does that make sense, right?
Yeah.
So I looked at you and you're like, wait, who is that? I'm assuming, right? And they go back and look.
Yeah, that's interesting. And another aspect about the recommendations, you know, sometimes people might be searching for their job, and during that particular time, I can see a lot of endorsements are happening. I don't know, they might have asked people intentionally to endorse, or
they
might.
So it is that build it up, get more likes, right? That's sort of what it is.
Mm-hmm. So how many endorsements do you consider are real, genuine endorsements for a candidate, for a job candidate?
You know what? I would tell you that we don't look at them whatsoever. I swear. Because we're more focused on the experience and the background and that kind of stuff, and the endorsements just get skipped right over. They may relate, but we don't actually – I don't think we look at them really very much at all. And I worked pretty hard, actually, with a couple other people. I think we tried to get Steve Bose's endorsement for barbecue to be, like, up there in the top three for him. So, right? Because you can add your own. I don't know if you guys knew that, right? You can add your own. They pick some for you, but then, of course, you can add your own. So if you really want to get people going in a direction you want and want to be known for that, I guess you could build up your endorsements for your specific thing that you want barbecue say.
Right?
It's always good to be known for that.
I totally hadn't thought about gaming the system on messing with that, but I'm going to spend a little time this weekend thinking about that.
That's right. The only thing better than that was, you know, when LinkedIn sent out those notices last year, you're in the top 1%, the top 5%. I don't know how far they went. Top 10% of profiles viewed on LinkedIn. Do you think it's weird the people that put that on their profile because they think it's some kind of a badge of honor?
I just, my purist side of me just thinks they don't know. They don't know how. You know, it really, you know, I think there's a handful of people out there that are like, I don't know why you would do that. It just doesn't, I mean, it's really not anything. It's of no importance, like me personally. I'm like, that is no importance to me. It's just one more thing that I'm not going to look at. So I don't I don't put a lot of weight on that at all, and I don't really discount people because I just think that people don't really, for the most part, just don't have any idea that when I look at it, it means nothing. Literally, I don't even see it hardly because it's with all the other stuff that I don't really look at.
Right.
So,
What do you look at?
Oh, I love having you on, Shannon.
well, but really, right? I mean, we're focused on LinkedIn, but these are tools that we all use for a variety of purposes. So I'm just kind of interested what people use different things for, because every time I talk to somebody, I find something different that I hadn't thought of. So anyway.
No, I mean, I kind of stay in the big three, right? I hit LinkedIn, which it was weird. It was down for a couple hours yesterday. So I'm a LinkedIn person, and I know some people that are Facebook people, and I know some people that are Twitter people that hit that first. I almost always go to LinkedIn first because it answers some of the key questions. Like, literally, if I hit LinkedIn, I'll be like, okay, that's who they are. Picture, what's their title? And then I roll almost exclusively to wherever they went to school. I want to know where they went to school. And then I start from there because that gives me, you know, that gives me a historical baseline of kind of what part of the country are they from typically, and you can gauge that a little bit. You know, do they have an advanced degree? Kind of what's their background and how does that match up with what their job role is today? So that's my quick 1, 2, 3. Almost, that's my autopilot, right?
That's your autopilot.
Yeah.
Interesting. So let me ask you a question. One of my top three, I look at who I'm connected to that's connected to you. If I'm not already connected, if I'm not connected to you, that's probably of my top three, that's probably one or two. Does that make sense?
That's probably my three. Yeah, that's probably my three, I would say. Because it used to not be, but now that you say that, and they're putting some tools in place that even make that easier. I will typically, like I said, see who they are, what they're doing, jump to see kind of where they went to school, and then start, and then literally go down the path. So it's probably three for me, around kind of, do we have anybody in common and why are those people in common?
Or what is the, you know, I loved when LinkedIn Labs, and they never did anything with it, sort of that heat map. Did you guys ever look at yours? Of who you're connected to and how that, you know what I'm talking about? That, like, sort of like a tag cloud, if you will, but related to your connections and how they all fit together and how they connect to each other. Did you ever look at that?
Oh, my gosh.
I did a long time ago.
That.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Nisha?
Yeah. I normally look at that because, you know, I want to know how this person knew about me.
Yeah. Because it is all about us, right?
Yeah. Especially, you know, sometimes if it depends upon, you know, if you use in LinkedIn or if you use on Facebook or on Twitter.
Yeah.
So if it is on Facebook, I normally look at the mutual friend. Do I have a mutual friend?
Yep.
Do I know this person from somewhere? Or probably have I met this person, especially on Facebook? I normally think that way. But on LinkedIn, I normally post all my blog posts. I share a lot of content, and I engage with my network of people in LinkedIn profile. So normally when they hit like on my content, whatever I post on LinkedIn, and they send a message. If they send a message, customized message saying, "Hey, Nisha, I read this post. It was really meaningful, and if so, that is really genuine. That is really, a genuine way of getting connected with, getting that attraction from one person and continuing that relationship. But
yes.
without any reason, I don't know who this person is, totally a stranger. Just sending an invite on a LinkedIn without any customized message, just an automated message.
Or any correlation to why you should want to connect.
Yeah. I just probably click on spam or if I don't know about it, this person. And especially I look at their profile. If it is real, their profile is genuine, then
yes.
I would probably hold it a little bit.
So you're shaking them down based on their profile. So I got a question for you. So one of the things that we have found, so you guys know that we're into social media, certainly the big three, as well as Instagram. I would kind of throw them in, although I guess you could put them under Facebook at this point, in terms of where we like to spend time. But I would tell you that the posts that I put to status updates on LinkedIn get a ton more engagement than Twitter at this point. What do you guys think about that? Do you find that same thing, or have you even noticed?
Well, it has to be based on your engagement level. Basically, where do you want to engage your candidate, or I'm sorry, your network? Probably
yep.
You might be a person who are highly active on LinkedIn. You might be feeling that LinkedIn is really fruitful than Twitter. But some people, they find Twitter is more interesting than LinkedIn.
Totally. Well, and I do a ton on Twitter, and it was interesting to me that I was getting more engagement, to use your word, from people when I was posting something on LinkedIn. Now, I don't post as much on LinkedIn as I do on Twitter, so that could be part of it,
mm-hmm.
but I just, it's sort
yeah.
of that same thing, like, am I just creating a bunch of noise on Twitter with the stuff that I'm sharing, because I'm much more regularly sharing stuff on Twitter, and then only occasionally do I do it on LinkedIn. So I don't know if that's just me, but I see much more of those comments and that kind of stuff there in comparison,
yeah.
right, to the number
yeah.
of things that I put out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. And especially
do you see the same?
I do see that. And especially I do have another more point to add with that. Actually, like if your network is a global network,
uh-huh.
let me say if you're in US and if you have your network in India, it's actually a different case. Because what happens is, like, whenever I tweet something during daytime in US, I have an engagement happening from US network.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I'm tweeting something in the night, which is for us in the night, so the engagement happens from India.
Awesome.
It's totally based on your network, based on your audience. What do they want?
What's going on?
From you, yeah. So sometimes your network from US, they might be interested in some particular topic, which is entirely different for some other network. So it's
mm-hmm.
basically you have to, what would I say, realize your network and accordingly engage your audience based on that. My a little take on that would be this much.
So so two questions. If Facebook changed their policy and made it like LinkedIn, where if I look at you, you're going to get a notice that says I looked at you, or you'll get it when you log into your homepage. So you're going to know that I looked at you. If Facebook started doing that,
that's going to be
would
good
that ass. Change your behavior at all?
Yeah.
That's going to be hilarious, because LinkedIn, you know, we have the settings to, even if that possibility is there, we have the settings to change. If you want to look at somebody, they might not know you're stalking them. But if you do that on Facebook, it would really feel like you're stalking them, right? Because it includes their personal life as well.
Well, totally. But
yeah.
So do you ever circuitously look at someone on LinkedIn and not click on their profile because you don't want them to know you're stalking them?
I don't know. I might use my settings strategically.
So you do is the answer. Brian, how about you?
Oh, Shannon, please. You know I do. I'm totally stealth when I feel that I need to be on LinkedIn, on any network, because at the end of the day, if somebody flips a setting, just sometimes I'm like,
yes.
I have. And usually it's somebody that I've quite frankly, maybe don't care that much about. That I definitely don't want them to think that I'm checking out something that they're doing. But I'm like, what's going on over there? So I do a lot of my BI stuff where I don't click on anything because they don't need to know that I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
So
if if LinkedIn took that down and you could do it free for all, or obviously you know you can change your settings, although it limits some of the stuff on your side, but you can change your settings, close it down,
right,
and then turn it back on, right? You know that.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. But
Facebook does that. I think that would be such a disaster because here's why. I would say a good portion, either not at a certain point in their life or just their entire life, like every guy that ever existed in the world, and I'm going to stereotype, so, whatever.
You're a guy, so you're allowed in that case.
right. All it takes is a prolonged look, a wink, a smile. All it takes is a passing smile, not even in some people's direction. And they think that they have the shot. And so if you have somebody looking at their profile, I mean, God help us all.
See, I think that might be a good premium. That's a revenue model for Facebook, if you ask me. Pay us.
Yeah.
We have a pay version if you want to see who's looked at you.
Yeah.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
I see a revenue model.
Yeah, I'm tracking.
Yeah, I know we have only 3 minutes left. I know we have only 3 minutes left, Brian, but I have a quick question. I have a quick question at this moment.
Yes.
So what's your take on now Facebook, we have an added feature, like we can use the hashtags on Facebook. So what's your take on that?
So for me, hashtags have taken on sort of a different life, and they've become part of the sort of the pop culture in my mind. We use them internally, right? People use them in blog posts, right? So it started out as the kind of indexing thing. So in my mind, if I can see some good usefulness, like, you know, early on with Twitter where it was really hard to find stuff, it made such a huge difference. And obviously, if you want to follow a conversation and that kind of stuff. So I think from that standpoint, it's become much more accepted and much more part of the way people, I'll say, talk. And I don't mean talk, but you know what I mean? Talk online, I'll say. So to me, it's not ho-hum. I'm going to be more interested to see how people can leverage it, if that makes sense. And if it gets the same kind of, I won't say following, but if it gets the same kind of use that it does on a place like Twitter, where it's literally part of how things are done, right? If you want to do a chat or any of that kind of stuff and follow the conversation, it's such a huge part of how you can do that and very successfully. You know, I it's not clear to me yet whether that's going to be part of it, if that makes sense. Do you know what I'm saying? Like within a conversation,
that
trail. Because to me, Facebook's already set up with those sort of trails, at least if you're in the circle of being somebody who's being talked to. What I don't know is, are they going to let me cross over and get into your conversation because of it?
Yeah, I'm with you. So we only got about 45 seconds. But Shannon, you made a very good point. Nisha, great question. It's not the behaviors are already baked into Facebook and are specific because it's a different style of network and not a stream that helps you sort through the waterfall of conversations. And so the behaviors are going to be different on why would I use that? It's unnecessary, or hey, I really like that because it does XYZ. So it'll be really interesting to see kind of what that looks like. So Shannon, we're out of time. Just a quick congratulations. The article, the gaming article with Chris that was in the HRCI magazine went very well. The whole gaming perspective was fantastic. So congrats to
awesome.
your team to be part
Thank
of that.
Thank you. Thank you so
and
much.
It is an absolute pleasure. I love to hear your perspective. Good to hear your voice. Glad everything is going well. And we need to roll for today, everybody. We will see you tomorrow.
Thank you for having me on.
A long December when there's reason to